welcome to the IPRC, everybody.
That's right. Yeah. Forgive our dust. So we're here. We're here at the IPRC. You guys have been here for a while. Thank you for coming out tonight. This is really exciting because you get to see all the aspects of what we do. The studio where we recorded the audio postcards is where all the magic happens. That's where, matter of fact, a lot of the people in this room have been in there or will be in there at some point. So so thank you all for that. But yeah, do we have a website yet for Open Roads? There will be one.
We have the domain. We don't have a website.
Okay, so it's on the way. But this is an audio podcasting network that, you know, again, all of these things either have to do with transportation or they know someone who is into transportation. So, it's a great thing. We're super happy to do this because, before this, all of the shows that, that existed before the studio were recorded in basements and living rooms and, various places that no one would ever want to spend time in. This is actually a fairly attractive place and I'm happy that we lucked into it. So.
Yeah.
What? Oh, I'm saying yes. I'm saying that our house.
Adele, who is Brock's wife, is like, are you criticizing our living room and our guest room and all of the other places in our various living spaces that
right.
you have occupied? You know what? In a lot of ways, I felt like I was doing a huge favor to you, Adele, when we got the podcasting space here. No longer were like microphones randomly at random times set up in your living room. And I always felt like you were the most patient partner around your, you know, unprofitable pursuits of your husband.
Yes, and that is true. To this point, they have not been profitable. But I am excited about the fact that we no longer have to kick Adele out of the house whenever a show is going to be recorded. And we never kicked her out, but it was always kind of like... she was browbeaten into not coming into the door. It was basically like, well, I guess I'm going to go to the library. And the library is a good place, don't get me wrong, but... At the same time, if you're forced to be at the library, nobody likes to eat ice cream if they don't want ice cream at the time. So same with the library. So anyways, well,
so, yeah, thanks for being a trooper, Adele.
Yes. And the fruits of your labor are here.
And you're not the only one. Like Michael's roommates had to deal with, like, we are recording. Please tread quietly. And my roommate, Kel, and... There have been many people over the years that have had to deal with the consequences of recording in one's residential space. So we're really excited to be here.
Yes. Most
Not
definitely.
To mention we have moving blankets on the walls now.
We have sound insulation, which means that when the train comes by, well, it means you'll still hear the train, actually, because nothing can stop it. But at the same time, there's no echo. And if you've heard a show, have any of you guys ever tuned into a show that was recorded with like one microphone in the middle of the room and it's got like seven people screaming about something they're passionately excited about?
That described the Portland Afoot podcast on a smaller level.
I wasn't thinking
for
about you particularly.
Like 2 years.
But yes, so the benefit of insulation is that instead of the sound bouncing around the room at random trajectories until it finally hits the microphone, we speak directly into microphones, and the sound, when it hits the wall, just stops and doesn't go anywhere. So this is very exciting. So, yeah. We had a roll of audio. Do you have that ready? Mr. Parecki, Mr. Aaron Parecki, who is a god among men with technology. We appreciate you.
A production of Open Roads Broadcasting.
Bad decisions can be made from large margarita glasses.
Going by car was no longer an option.
It was terrible. I'm not doing it ever again.
Okay. Lillian Karabik of the Bike Portland.
You're doing such a good job at the announcer voice.
I am the co-host and producer of the Portland Afoot podcast.
Open Roads Broadcasting, an audio production studio.
I'm Steph Ralph, your host today. Punk's Atani Phil has predicted 6 more weeks of winter, followed in the Pacific Northwest by a chilly, windy snap. Winter definitely is the season we are in.
You have been in Portland how long?
Well, actually, I was born here.
You were?
I'm one of like 6 people.
You're the old guard.
I know.
We will turn now to our third guest, my mom, Donna Ralph.
Was that Grover?
Yeah, Grover.
The purple Peugeot.
Right.
I'm very sad that you didn't move by bike.
Dedicated to programming about transportation.
What exactly is Aaron Flores?
Can we call the studio the Sausage Factory?
The bike road.
Mm, yeah.
You know.
It's a neighborhood greenway.
Yeah.
With
Sharrows. Thank you.
And yes. Speed humps.
Speedos. That's what they call it.
I know. They've been doing it since the 1890s, too.
I'm worried you're going to get bored and you're going to leave.
That's right. I got shit to do.
Seriously.
The Bike Portland podcast about bikes and low-car life in PDX. I'm Lillian Kerbake.
I'm Jonathan Moss.
And I'm Michael Anderson. Each month, the three of us go in-depth on a subject that matters to Portlanders who get around without a car.
I had heard some rumors from some other friends in the industry who are really smart, and I asked him, I said, are you the bike snob? And he said, no, I don't get into that sort of Page Six gossip kind of stuff. So I let it be, but turns out he was. Is there a plan? There is a plan somewhere.
Here's the thing. The Higgs boson is an inherently ridiculous idea. It's like, oh, the W and Z bosons don't have mass. How are we ever going to explain the unification of weak nuclear force and electromagnetism? There is a lot of cost cutting at the end there.
Welcome to Open Roads.
So that's just a sampling of the kinds of things that you can listen to when you tune into a show from Open Roads Broadcasting. Why don't we describe, we're going to do a rundown of the shows real quick?
Yeah.
Okay, so first of all, longest running. Oh, wait, no, except I was going to say you guys are the longest running show, except no, I think I started.
You guys are, I think you're longer.
Okay, so the Sprocket Podcast has been around for 4 years, and we just had our 200th episode not long ago. And it is fantastic to have found such a warm reception in a town that is so friendly to low-car life. So we talk about bicycles, transit, simpler living, and sometimes we get shit-faced. So that's kind of our purview. The Bike Portland Podcast used to be the Portland Foot Podcast, which Michael and Lily put together at first, and now has become the Bike Portland Podcast.
That is true.
Yeah. And so how long has that been together?
So the Portland Foot Podcast, we hit our 3-year anniversary this August, and for the first time ever we got shit-faced. So shit-faced that I actually had to edit Michael saying the closing statement, attempting it 8 times, what's our closing statement?
Exit through the back,
which you could not possibly start without saying exit through the back. And I didn't leave it in, but we did a drunk podcast for our third anniversary episode where we listened to our first ever podcast, which yes, neither of us had heard in 3 years. And I recommend.
That was an entertaining episode, and that was engineered by Mr. Parecki over here. Again, a god among men.
I let someone else at the computer for that, which is the first time I've ever done that.
Was it difficult to let go?
I had heat stroke and drank 4 margaritas. So
not difficult to let go.
Less so than normal.
Okay.
We also time-lapsed the whole thing, so you can find this all time-lapsed also. But we've been the Bike Portland Podcast for a little over a year now. And we were sort of gently transitioning to that before we changed the name. So, we started with like 200 listeners and now we have about 20K a month. So.
Right, right. I was actually in we were doing an audio postcard with Jonathan earlier and Jonathan said, we've got some listeners. I said, how many do you have? I heard you had like 200 or something. And he was like, no, that's wrong. actually, you guys have an impressive listenership, which is fantastic. So it's great. Oh, by the way, this is one time when the train is going by, I wouldn't even have to say that, for people listening to this who aren't here, but generally the train comes through the microphones a lot more than it's coming through now. So I'm glad that we're here. So anyways, there are a couple more shows coming up, right? The Steph Ralph, whom we love and is part of that. No, I take it back about the train. It's right there. Steph Routh is putting together a show, which it's not been produced and it's not been unveiled yet, but that is coming. And then you mentioned, what was the fourth?
Transportini.
Oh, Transportini. How could I forget?
I know, which is my like perennial other thing.
Speaking
that's
of alcohol.
But it is a alcohol themed podcast that transects transportation economics.
Yes.
Using booze. So if you've ever wanted to understand the highway trust fund using the old fashioned or the vehicle miles traveled tax using using a decent margarita glass, we have a resident bartender to teach you how to make the drink, to listen to the explanation from a transportation expert about such things. So Transportini.
So full of tasty metaphors.
Dry topics, hard drinks.
There we go. Fabulous. Yeah, and then in the future, more and more people will be probably rolling themselves into this. So we're excited. So thank you all for coming out. Just a note on the urban growth boundary twister that happened. How was that? So much fun, painful. Damn service gaps. And the problem with the service gaps...
We're learning that it turns out it really sucks when there is gaps in infrastructure in parts of Portland.
You have to put your left hand on it. Left hand on a service gap. Hand
and your right foot on a service gap. And then you need to reach jobs. It really sucks.
There we go. Again, we are rolling in metaphors here. This is beautiful.
Yeah. We're pretty good at it.
We try. It's what we do. It's the trade we ply. So that happened. So thank you, everybody. Also, a thanks to our bartenders who are hanging out here. We appreciate that. If you haven't had drinks and you want some, please please go pick some up.
Get some drinks for my parents.
Definitely, yes. I do love that your parents are the bartenders. That says something about your relationship, which is fabulous. And then we're looking here. The pictures are projected on the sheet over here to our left. You're right. That is the work of, what, you and Aaron, right?
Mostly Aaron.
Yeah. So this is, how would you describe this? This is a turn, or a not a turn signal, but a crosswalk signal.
Yeah. And you can become a pedestrian signal.
Yes. Is there anyone left here who has not yet done this? Okay, so we got to get you in there. But yes, we've got everybody, a surprising number of people that have turned into a green walk signal.
Jonathan just asked, how do we do that? The magic that is known by computers.
Yeah. How do computers work, Lily?
Computers, you write things in code and then they do things that you ask them to because they're really obedient robots.
Fabulous. So that's been done. So am I missing? Oh, the audio postcards. We'll probably roll some of those into this when it hits the internet, but we're also going to save those and put them into our shows as they roll out. So thanks to everybody who answered a random question about something related to transportation, and it was an honor to be able to capture all those things. So if anybody has not done one of those yet, once we're done here, we'll go right back in the studio and record some more voices.
Speaking of more voices...
Should we roll some other folks in here?
We swapped hosts for this, so so it's Brock and I.
Right.
But now I think it's going to be Michael Anderson and Aaron Flores.
What? Whoa. Yeah. this is something that involves consent, so we got to make sure that you guys are okay with this. But if you're into it, okay. Aaron is not drunk enough.
Aaron is never near drunk enough to do anything because he doesn't drink.
Well, there is that. Yeah.
Also, you flew from...
All right. Sounds
like
a plan.
You flew from San Francisco. That's not a real flight.
Okay. So welcome Michael Anderson and Aaron Flores.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for being pleasant.
Yeah, of course. What are we talking about, Aaron?
Now it's the sidekicks. I would love...
All right, we do.
I would love a drink of root beer.
Aaron, what was the best walk you ever had, and why?
Pass. No, wait. No, Patrick Duffy. No, Oh, this isn't Celebrity Squares.
You don't walk?
Sorry. Yes, I walk. No, I do. I've had a lot of really good walks. Before even getting a bicycle when I first moved here, I walked everywhere.
All right.
I was not very adept at reading transit maps and times. I think maybe I have some latent dyslexia or something, but they often confused me, and so I would just screw it, I'm walking there.
Transit maps are confusing until you learn the rules. Nobody stand there to explain them to you.
No, you're right.
It's a big problem.
We'll create jobs where we just have a guy standing at every stop.
See, there we go. We just solved the economy too.
Look at that.
We're good. Doing
we're
well.
We're creating jobs here, folks.
That's great.
Yeah. That's right.
That's true. Same damn thing. Right. We have people who pump gas. We can have people who explain transit maps.
There you go.
The you know who else walked all over Portland without riding transit?
Who's this?
Steve Jobs. When he was a
You're shitting me, right?
When he was a fake Reed student, he walked around Portland. He didn't have a car, and he lived in Portland, and he went to read, like, snuck into classes, learned calligraphy, appreciated design, and then brought that into the rest of his life, his work. And so basically, low-car Portland.
And appreciate what? Design.
Are you going to reinvent the American economy, Aaron?
Wow. I'm going to reinvent the economy now.
All right. Good. Because Steve really screwed it up.
Wait,
so.
I'm going to ask you a question now.
Okay.
All right. How did you get to school when you were a kid?
I had the great joy of living two blocks from Old Orchard Elementary School. So I walked sometimes with Amy Foal, who is like twice my height at the time.
And but she was dreamy.
Yeah, she was dreamy. when we moved to a different school, then I biked for most of the rest of my high school. Sometimes I would borrow my parents' car, but usually it was by bike. And that was my first bike transportation experience. And it's kind of strange because I don't think there are any bike lanes in Toledo, Ohio at the time.
You're from Toledo, Ohio.
Yeah. Are you from Toledo, Ohio?
Well, somewhat north of Toledo, Ohio.
Where?
I don't want to say.
Are you from Monroe?
Are you what?
Right. Anyway, awesome.
No statute of limitation.
All right, I'm going to do one more for Aaron, and then we're gonna hand it off again. Aaron, do you know how to drive? If so, who taught you? What was it like?
I do know how to drive. I've had several teachers. One was my Uncle Lou, who after one session said, "I am not getting in the car with you ever again."
that inspires confidence in one's driving when that happens.
Something about the pedals really confused me, and I hit the gas when I should have hit the brake. We ended up in a ditch. Don't teach your kid to drive. Don't teach your sister-in-law's kid to drive in the snow in Michigan.
Yeah. In some mysterious place in Michigan.
Yeah.
We don't know where it is.
I don't want to say. So that was one teacher. And then just this big gap of like, so I know the general mechanics of driving, and then, driver's ed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I don't know if my parents just figured, well, that's what driver's ed is for. That's what we pay our taxes for. Oh, yeah, it was free over there for us. It was
for us.
Schooling.
Oh, yeah. It was not for us. Yeah.
And so they were like, yeah, you know, we've already tried with two kids, third guy's, he'll be all right.
What?
And so.
How does that compare to learning to bike? So we already know nobody taught you how to ride the freaking bus. That's too bad.
Yeah.
They didn't teach me either. That sucked.
No, I just came here. I just landed here, and they're like, oh, well, there's this thing called a bus.
Anyway, but the bike, So like
riding a bike.
Yeah.
this is way more embarrassing than I want it to be. But like, as much as I've taken to biking now that I'm here in Portland, it took me forever to learn how to ride a bike. I think I was like in kindergarten or first grade before.
I've got you beat. Okay. But go ahead. Yeah.
I don't feel so bad now.
No.
But I mean, yeah, before I took the training wheels off, like I had a bike, you know, when I was really little, but never willing to take the training wheels off until, I know I was already in school. It must have been. Man, I really hate to think that it was in first grade, but it might have been. And then even then, I still kept one on the right side for some reason. I don't know why.
That's great. That's the right side. Yeah, the weak side.
It must have been. Incidentally, though, if I need to take a sharp turn, that's the turn I'm taking, is a right sharp right turn. I can do that, no problem. Left turns are kind of my kryptonite
you think
now.
You have a plastic wheel there.
Maybe so. Maybe this wheel will save me. I can lean into it as much as I want.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I didn't learn to ride until at least it was like, I don't know, early grades sometime. My parents put me on a bike when I was five, and I fell on my left side on the way down the driveway, broke my left arm. It's the only bone I've ever broken. First time I ever got on a bicycle, and I wasn't back for quite some time. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, what we learned from this, I think, in both of our cases, was training wheels are stupid. It's good that everybody's switched to those little you know, pushy
yeah,
bikes.
Scoot bikes?
Scoot
definitely.
Bikes. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. R.I.P. training wheels. Oh, balance bikes. All right. Great.
A balance bike in which you scoot yourself on.
Yes. All right. I think it's time to hand it off.
Are we handing off or are we doing more questions here?
Yeah. What?
Who's next?
I think Jonathan's one of the next people.
Oh, look. He suddenly has to go to the bathroom. Oh. Surprise, surprise. Tech man.
Well, all the better.
You're going to start doing it soon.
Producer, recording engineer, Aaron Flores.
Aaron Parecki. I'm Aaron.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
There's too many Aarons.
There are. I'm going to start going by my... No, never mind.
Yes. I would prefer you not put my parents on my...
All right. Great.
Well, when he gets back, of course.
When he gets back.
But wow,
yep. I don't know what I'm doing.
Physics are tough.
That's how microphones work.
Mr. Parecki, you are an audio engineer. What do you know about podcasting and how hard is it?
I am not an audio engineer, in fact. I just pretend.
Okay, so you're doing a damn good job of pretending.
I plug in the wires, make the sound come out of the speakers, make it go into the computer.
Yes.
I enjoy it.
Okay.
It's fun.
What do you enjoy about it? Oh, and I'm seriously asking because there are some people who would say, I don't want to play with wires and be responsible for like someone hearing a thing.
It's kind of fun to make a thing actually happen and, you know, become a real thing instead of just an idea.
Okay. So the idea that you're taking something that's like a theory and making it into an actual reality.
Yep. Okay. Not just with audio.
Right.
So same thing happens with like the camera that's in the other room.
Okay. So maybe shifting gears a little bit here, as it were, we were at Velocult getting ready for the Sprocket Podcast 200th episode. And I remember your bike had a problem. Did you get that resolved?
You mean my bike didn't exist. My bike not
oh
existing?
Oh my God, that's
right. That problem?
Okay, never mind.
Oh yeah, I had multiple problems with my bike.
So Aaron's bike.
First of all.
Aaron's bike had a mechanical issue, but then it was stolen. So
that's one way to solve the mechanical issue is just to not have the bike anymore.
This is kind of a one piece, like just replace it, I guess. I'm sorry to hear that. And I forgot that it happened. So now I feel insensitive for bringing it up.
No, it's cool. I have a bike again.
Okay. So how did you get your new one?
So I went to the bike store and I bought it.
Okay. See, this is the thing. Now, we were just talking about, we mentioned Steve Jobs and we mentioned the idea that there's... My old co-host, Brandon Rhodes, wanted very badly for there to be a bike store, kind of like there's a Mac store where you could just walk in, you get something with no user serviceable parts that will last forever, and then you walk out with a bike. Did you find something like this?
I think no. Okay. Lily's nodding no.
No, okay.
I think I did because I got the same bike that I had last time, but the newer model.
Gotcha.
Just like I do with Apple products.
So Lily is screaming that your bike is hard to service. She's very adamant about it. What is hard about this? Do you know?
So the basically no part on the bike is standard.
Okay. Okay. So, is this, where is it from?
It's a Cannondale.
Cannondale, every part is specific.
So
to
the frame is not cylinders.
Ah.
They're slightly oblong.
Okay.
The bolts are not the normal sizes like where the holes go in.
Okay, so everything on this bike is non-standard.
Basically, yeah.
And so when it went away, you got another one.
It was really comfortable.
Okay. Well, see, and that's the thing. This is the thing where some people would choose a bicycle based on the idea that it's easy to work with, the parts are standard, and that you would be okay with going into any old bicycle shop anywhere. And you could find a backwater welder, in fact, in Nevada, who would be willing to TIG weld your bike back together or something. But you're going with the idea, this is a comfortable bike, and this is one that I will ride.
Exactly. Yeah, and, you know, now that I think about it, that actually matches up with a lot with how I buy technology. And
okay. Fabulous.
So interesting that parallels.
Yes, indeed.
Now I have a bike. I can ride again. I can actually get around, not just with like feet and buses and cars.
There we go.
So I'm very happy. You should have seen me riding the bike back from the bike shop. I was actually just... giant grin on my face the whole time.
There we go.
So that was nice.
So there's the lesson, people. Get a bike. It will make you happy.
Exactly.
Excellent. Just one more piece. I remember that after the Sprocket Podcast 200th episode, which I keep referencing, and I don't mean to, but the good story came out of this is that Lily and you, Mr. Parecki, were both traveling back on a single bicycle. Is this correct?
That is possible.
Okay. We won't confirm these details just for liability reasons.
Okay.
want you to confirm is that we dance exited the venue.
Okay, so you two danced out of Velocult.
We definitely dance exited.
Okay.
Yes.
Pictures to prove it. Excellent. Well, thank you, Aaron, Mr. Parecki, for doing this. And I, again, there are so many Aarons, I got to keep referencing your name. But thank you so much for doing what you do for us.
Of course.
And, yeah, we appreciate it. Excellent. Well, a hand for this guy. And now, Jonathan Moss, you're back. And I did not produce. It was going to be. Are you cool with that?
What do you?
You're saying.
I'm not saying. Right, Brock is saying.
No.
Well. Okay. Corey and Jonathan are up next. There we go.
Hey, everybody. Jonathan Moss here with
Corey Poole. Right. It sounds a lot different on this end of things.
It sure does.
Yeah.
Corey, what brings you here? What sort of transportation aspect can you represent for our audience?
I skateboard.
What is it? Skateboard? But so can you do some cool tricks?
Oh, man. Okay, so I'm being called out. I actually can't do any real skateboard tricks.
So what do you do with your skateboard?
I push. Push wood.
You go places?
Yeah.
So you're a transportation skateboardist?
What else would you use them for?
Well, you know, jumping off stairways and going on railings and...
I mean, you don't use a car to jump off stairways, and go down railings. You don't use a bike. Well, some people do. Bike for going down.
I mostly
stairs.
Go places.
Yeah.
Wow, I feel bad now that I sort of stereotyped you.
That's okay. I like stereotypes.
Oh, man.
It's like they're great for getting around. So have you were saying earlier you have a penny skateboard in your house. Have you ever ridden it?
I have ridden it. Yeah. A penny board, which I don't know if people know, but this is you could probably say more about them, but
yeah, like
penny,
20 inches long.
And yeah, they're kind of this new phenomenon, this new product that's kind of it's like an old 70s skateboard, right?
Really sketchy, kind of unstable skateboard.
My daughters wanted to have one, but they mostly just put it in their backpack and never ride it.
But you
just
know,
a guy
actually skateboarded across the country on a penny.
On a penny board.
Yeah. That's just right. Finished this this
well,
year.
Well, you've skateboarded down to Salem.
Yeah. Yeah.
From Portland. That's 58 miles. What are you thinking?
There's nothing wrong with skateboarding ridiculous distances. It's just like riding a bike long distance.
Sort of.
Nobody in this town would bat an eye if you rode a bike 100 miles, right? Like they'd be like,
not
oh yeah,
really.
You did a
well,
century,
some
whatever.
People, but yeah, you're right. Most,
you know,
most
riding
part,
a skateboard 60 miles is no harder than riding a bike 100 miles. So you rode down to Salem too.
Yeah.
On a bicycle.
Yeah, but that's kind
of. And then you rode back, right?
Yeah, right.
That's a long ways.
Yeah. I rode down while I was down in Salem. I did a big ride too. So, you know, I set a record that day for the longest mileage I've ever done on a bicycle in one day.
Oh, really?
180 something miles.
180 miles in one day.
Yeah, it was a long, ugly day.
Wow.
Well, I rode down to Salem, and then we.
So I want to know something. So you're the editor of Bike Portland.
Yeah.
How did you get into doing Bike Portland?
Oh, sort of just on a whim. So when I moved to Portland in 2004. I wanted to kind of see what was going on in the bike world. So I was on the Shift email list, which is still alive and well today. And somebody from the Oregonian newspaper, which is, if people don't know, is a newspaper and a website around here. They sent something out to the Shift list saying, we're looking for we're doing this new thing called blogs. I just did the bunny quotes. Yeah. We're doing a new thing called blogs, and we'd like one to be on bicycling. Is there anybody that would be interested in doing something like that? So I jumped on that email and emailed them back. I don't know if I think I've changed computers enough so that I couldn't find the email, but I'd love to see it because I was so eager and excited. I probably 5, 6, 7 paragraphs of why they should pick me to do it and why I was the best person to do it. It's pretty funny. But so they said yes. So then I started writing this blog on the Oregonian. And that's kind of how it started. So I would email this person at OregonLive.com, and they would publish it on the Oregonian. And it was pretty amazing to see my little emails show up on this thing called a blog. And then when I started doing that, I thought it was so interesting. I started researching blogs on my own on the side and learning all about them and sort of diving into them and being like, wow, these are kind of like a big deal. This is going to be a thing. And this is 2004, 2005. Yeah. So
ancient history.
Ancient history in the internet. So after a couple of months, I realized, like, why the hell am I doing this for the Oconian?
That's a very good question.
Yeah, they're not paying me. Like, that's the whole idea of blogs is like cutting out the middleman. I don't need them. There's all kinds of great pieces of software that allow you to publish your own stuff. So one night, I basically just went online and found Bike Portland and bought the domain, and then started using WordPress, which was a fantastic tool. And then the next morning I told the Oregonian that there's no reason for me to do it anymore for them, so I started doing it for myself. And I did it for a while just on the side, and then realized a year or so later that I wanted to do it full-time and sort of just took the leap, and then I've been doing it ever since. So we're this spring is going to be our 10th year.
Wow. So bikeportland.com, right?
.org, actually.
.org, okay. Because yeah. I was like, Bike
Portland.
It's a
little confusing.
I always just type Bike Portland and my browser just takes me there. I don't worry about it. It's like, yeah. I type like B-I and it's like Bike Portland. Yeah. Hit enter. But it's like, so bikeportland.org was not taken in 2004. That's pretty impressive, actually.
Yeah, it wasn't taken.
That was open.
Well, but that was a long time ago, like we said. That was
like a decade ago.
That was a decade.
You're making me feel so old.
And, you know, nobody was talking about, you know, bicycling in cities back then and on blogs. No. See, back then it was like...
I won't tell you about bicycling in Portland 95 then.
it's hard for people to remember, but back then, like, the idea of, like, moving by bike or dressing up in a costume to do a bike ride... or being naked, God forbid, or riding a tall bike. All these things were like people couldn't even fathom that you would actually do these things. Nobody in America knew that these things existed, but here I was in Portland going, oh my God, people are doing this. This is amazing. This is beautiful. This is fantastic. Somebody has to be taking pictures of this, sharing it online. And that's what was neat about blogs is that you could share stuff and a lot of people could see it right away. And you didn't need a degree or a permission. You just press a couple buttons and there you go. And then that's how it really started to catch on and catch fire is I got to be able to document what was happening here in Portland for everybody around the country, around the world. And then that's kind of how it sort of took off.
What do you think your favorite story that you've ever published on Bike Portland is?
Oh, that's like saying which one of my kids is my favorite. Like that's
you can answer that too.
Jim Boss. Oh, that's my kids aren't listening, so that's why I don't. That's you can never say that. That's verboten. Favorite story. I'm not going to go there. Okay, next topic.
Rewind.
No. They're all special in their own ways. It's like we used to say, right? we do say. Favorite story? Oh, it depends, you know, because we do so many different kind of things. Like there are certain stories I love for the advocacy impact they had, the way that they were able to change things. There are certain stories I love because I think they were like maybe aesthetically beautiful.
Oh, come on. You got it. You got a story.
Oh, see, that's favorite podcast. Well, I think it's the one that hasn't come out yet. Everybody, listen, we're about to broadcast our next episode, which is going to be the best one ever, which is the What If podcast, which is going to be great. So everybody needs to tune in to the next Bike Portland podcast, which is the What If, which is fantastic. It was, I think, Michael's idea and executed by Michael and Lily. And I see, that's the thing is Lily and Michael put the podcast on. I just get to show up and kind of like talk a little bit. And we did a What If, which was cool. We asked a lot of amazing questions and had, I think, some really good answers. So tune in next week or so.
Okay. That's amazing, but I'm not going
to
let you go. Oh, so there was an article.
Being the one asking,
there was an article.
The
there was an article. I know, this is so cool. There was an article that you published, I know, where you went, I cannot believe I just published that article. Like, I know that happened.
Well.
Or that, like, wow.
Some of those weren't my favorites. Some of those were my biggest regrets.
I'm trying, you know, you looked at it and, like, holy crap, we've made it. This is it. Like, I cannot believe this article is out in the world and it's, you know, it's mine.
Well, there's, one article that comes to mind is the story about Emily Finch.
Yeah.
So this was a woman who I'd seen around town a few times. So the thing is, because I've been doing Bike Portland for a while, when I'm around town, I'm looking at bike stuff and everything I see, I'm thinking, you know, is this a story? Like what's going on? Who is this person? I have to know everything about what's going on with bicycling in this town. I saw this woman with all these kids on her bikes and I thought, man, this is an amazing, what's going on? But I kind of put it out of my head. Maybe I was with my family at the time and I didn't have time to acknowledge it. But then we were at the King Farmers Market one day and I saw her and I had a chance to talk to her for the first time. And I was like, seriously, well, what, what is this all about? You know, you got this cargo bike, all these kids. So that was the first time I talked to her. And we made a connection, and I was able to follow up with her after that. And then I went and spent a day with her. And it was just she's just an amazing person and a really interesting story. And I took a long time writing it up. And, you know, it was the most widely read story we've ever had on Bike Portland. I have to put an asterisk on that because the naked bike ride stories are always, they trump everything. And the last
one. Who doesn't
want
to read that?
I hate that. I hate
are people
that. I
mean, reading though? Do you think people
so
are reading
hard
those?
To make really good stories, and then all of a sudden, a lot of people get naked, and they're not even that good a story. But
I just read it to try to see if I could find Brock.
Oh, sure, everybody has a reason.
He's on that tall bike.
Everybody has their reason. But I was so proud for so long because the Emily Finch story was the number one. It even beat all the naked ride stories until this year's naked ride. But unfortunately, so. Anyway,
Brock blames himself.
The one little thing I want to share about the Emily Finch story is it's the only story I've sold international rights to.
No way.
So yeah, no.
Who bought them? Who wanted that?
It's called what is it called? I forget their name. They kind of messed me around with the negotiation of the agreement. But anyway, it's this UK-based company that basically searches the world for interesting stories, and then they end up syndicating them. But anyway, so I got a phone call from a guy saying, hey, we saw this story, and we want to purchase it from you so that we can go ahead and sell it to a bunch of other people. Wow. So it was really interesting. But that story, it's symbolic of what's happening in the U.S. in the sense that like people thought that was so amazing that a mom of six kids could ride them around town. I mean, she ended up going on the Ricky Lake show in L.A. I mean, it was pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That story. I mean, I felt good about the story when I wrote it, and I thought the pictures were going to be pretty compelling, but I had no idea that it would be as big as it was. I mean, it really, and it changed Emily's life in a way. It sort of plugged her into a whole new community of people that she was able to sort of, actually a lot of people that she ended up being her friends now and stuff. So
that's awesome.
It was pretty interesting.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
But so, Corey, going back to you.
Okay.
Mr. Skateboard.
Mr. Skateboard.
Northwest Skate Coalition. You broke some news earlier saying that the city is actually counting the amount of skateboarders riding around.
Let's
a skate count?
Let's
is that
make,
the first
yeah.
in America? Can we?
We think this is the first time in America, or, I mean, we can't find it. I don't know of any place in the world that's done it, where skateboard transportation was included in a actual count. And so we're hopefully getting the data this next week. And I think we had a few little teasers that came out. And I think like the record locations, like for an hour, were like 21 and 17 skateboards past one of the count points. I mean, this is in places where they get like 200 bikes. But, you know, still, it's I'm really excited about this. It shows that it's growing. And, you know, that's the thing about skateboarding. Skateboarding right now is kind of like where bicycling was maybe 20, 30 years ago. Where, you know, it's barely tolerated on the streets. It's not really seen as viable transportation by a huge swath of people. And most of what I'm doing and what we're trying to do through Northwest Skate Coalition is just basically tell people we're here. Mm. That, you know, consider this as a potential active transportation solution. And, it, you know, this is just another sign that Portland is once again setting a bar nationwide. You know, Portland was the first large city that I know of that legalized skateboarding explicitly on the roads. And now to be the first to start in a meaningful way, start integrating skateboarding into the actual transportation policy, it's groundbreaking. So really excited. We're supposed to give it up, right?
Let's give it up. Brock, did you want to do a sign off or? Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Jonathan.
Thanks to Corey. Thanks to Jonathan.
I'm here for his color commentary. So
yes, you are. What color do you see right now?
That triple axle was really poorly executed on the front edge.
So it goes. All right. Well, we want to thank everybody for coming out to Open Roads Broadcasting. Again, if you want to find us right now, the website is not yet up, but we will we will have one.
It'll be up by tomorrow.
Will it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So wait, do you want to give the website address?
Openroads.net.
Openroads.net. That's N-E-T. I like to think of that as the RC Cola of internet things.
In case it doesn't work, openroadsbroadcasting.com.
Okay. So
say it again.
Openroadsbroadcasting.com.
Okay,
openroadsbroadcasting.net. try them, see what happens.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to leave all three in this final episode.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah.
Excellent. Also, thesprocketpodcast.com and bikeportland.org/podcast.
It's like the Russian roulette of podcasting.
And is there a transpertini.com as well?
Yes,
or where do you find
is.
This?
You find it at transpertini.com.
Transpertini.com. All right. And again, in the future, there will be more podcasts we can has. So thank you, everybody, for coming, and have an excellent night. Adieu.
We love you all.
Oh, yeah. And there's still beer. So if you want some, buy some. I mean, we're not selling it. You can donate. Just for legal reasons.
A production of Open Roads Broadcasting.